This is Victory House.
Today I want to talk about open doors. Open doors. I think some people are taking it. Say open doors. All right. So I won't be able to finish everything I have to say on this, so I'll take it up on the upper week. Open doors. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 4. If today is your first time in Victory House, you are most welcome. And if today is your first time in a long time too, you are also welcome. We're always glad to see you. All right? Genesis chapter 12 and from verse 1 to 4. Do you know what? Can you give me NIV? I know I usually read King James. For some time now, I've been reading King James. It's very cool to speak in thee, thou, thus, you know, all those Queen King English. Genesis 12, and reading from verse 1. The Bible says, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make your name into a great, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Am I talking about somebody this morning? All right. And then he went on to say in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Can I get a bigger amen to that? Amen. Then verse 4 says, and so Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. Look at your neighbor, say it's never too late. God is not done with you yet. I don't know why I have been going that direction, but some people are already counting themselves out of some things. You're already saying it's too late. I can't get into that now. How I wish I did it earlier. How I wish I got into it earlier. But can I tell you, it's never too late. When it comes to God, whenever God arrives, time will calibrate to meet him. Time will adjust to meet him. So some people that somebody has told you your biological clock is ticking and all of that, they tell them to relax because God is for me. He organizes my time and he makes things to work in my favor. Will you say loud and clear, say in the name of Jesus, it is not too late for me. All right. Okay, so that's Genesis 12, 1 to 4. Let's also read Revelation chapter 3 and from verse 7. Revelation 3 from 7. So we started from the first book of the Bible and we went to the end of the Bible to confirm that God is saying it's your season of open doors. Will you tap yourself and say it's my season of open doors? Okay. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right. And you know, this church is also Philadelphia. Amen. to the angel of the church in Victory House. All right. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I have come to announce to somebody, there is an open door before you. No devil can stop it. No enemy can close it. You will access it. You will walk in it. You will enjoy it. In the name of Jesus. He says, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Can I still announce to somebody, and I think some people should stand up to receive this one. I declare it's your season of open door. No devil will stop it. No devil will close it. The door will be wide open in the presence of your enemies. In the name of Jesus. You may please be seated. You know, several years ago, I don't know if my mother-in-law can remember this, and my wife too. Maybe we've told you, we've said this before to her. There was one day, you know, I had gone to see my, she was still my friend, and we're doing everything to make friends, to become more than friends. Amen. Because people just tell you, who is that person? She's just a friend. She was just that, but it was not just a friend. It was a friend with intentions. Amen. So I had intentions, and I told her, and she was like, I don't think so. And, you know, because Jesus has received the nail for me on the cross of Calvary, I didn't think I needed another nail. Amen. So I stayed in the game. Amen. Maybe I'm prophesying to somebody. You know, so, and one day I happened to be in the a bus with her mom, and then she asked me a question that I didn't even see coming. And she said, Alpha, what are you doing with my daughter? Ah. I didn't know that an interview was coming. So I said, I like her, and but I don't know about her. Me, I know for myself. You know, sometimes you have affection towards somebody. You know your own part. You don't know the other person's part. Amen? But sometimes some people interpret the other person's part, especially the guys. Amen? Because when guys are hanging around girls, they'll just decide that she's my girlfriend because of association. And sometimes the feeling is not mutual. You know, I've had that kind of experience before where I thought somebody was who they were not. And then later I found out that I was just a good friend. So sometimes, for all intents and purposes and for full disclosure, you need to know who you are. You know, so sometimes you need to ask yourselves, who am I? Before you go and tell somebody that, please meet my wife-to-be, and she looks like you are like, excuse me, please don't kidnap me. You know, so I was there, and then she asked me the question, and I said, I like her, but, you know, and I've told her about it, but she thinks that this thing may not work. She said, why? I said, because she thinks that I've been in another relationship that didn't work. And she now said something to me that I still remember this morning. And she said, if it didn't work for the other person, it doesn't mean it won't work for you. Because you see, the challenge of life usually is that experience can be a bad teacher. I know that people say things like experience is a very good teacher, but sometimes experience is lousy. Experience wants to tell you that what happened in the past has to happen now. But I've come to tell you that it is an open door before you, that this one will work. Because there's that tendency for you to feel like, I have been here before. Some people, as you are listening to me say this morning, you be like, I've been here before. Sometimes you have this deja vu feeling when you get into some situation. It feels like, wait a minute, this is 2018, but it feels like 2015. I have been here before. I have seen something like this before. I have come this close before. And so that experience begins to come back to you. It begins to creep into you. And it's trying to tell you that it is not possible. Don't take it. I have come to tell you this morning, don't take that experience. You can ignore that experience. God can do a new thing. God can change the story. And that is what he wants to do for you. In the name of Jesus. So in the stories that we read this morning, Genesis chapter 12, the reason why I went with that experience is that the Bible said, when we read that Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, it says, now the Lord had, past tense, told Abraham to leave his country. If you read that, you'll be wondering, where did God tell Abraham to leave his country? But God did not start with Abraham. God had started with his father. In Genesis chapter 11, if you read Genesis chapter 11, toward the end, 31, you will notice that God had inspired his father to leave their country, and they were going to Canaan's land. And the Bible said, the man became tired, and they settled in another place. They settled in another country different from where God wanted to take them. And that instruction that God gave the father of Abraham was also an instruction for Abraham. It was an instruction that God gave his father, but he was also giving it to him. So somehow Abraham knew that God was taking them somewhere. And God now came in Genesis chapter 12 to remind him and say, look, what I said before, I still mean it. I want to take you somewhere. And so there are people here this morning. Well, I've come to tell you that what God had in mind before, he hasn't changed his mind. He still wants you to go forward. He still wants you to become what he has called you to be. In the name of Jesus. So this morning, you need to understand that man is always on a journey.
We are people always in transition. It doesn't matter where you are. You are always moving from to. There is always a from and there is always a to. Whether you are, if you feel like, oh, I just came to the United States, so that means I am in my two. Yes, I know, but somewhere along the line, that two now is going to soon turn to from to another place. It may not be geographical, but usually God is moving on because God is a God of transitions. God moves us in transition. God moves us from place to place. God takes us from now to then. God takes us from where we are to where we ought to be. So you and I need to understand that in ourselves, that God is a God that takes us from places to places. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, it says the path of the righteous man is like a shining light that shine brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. So where you are with God, you should never relax. You should never settle. You should never retire. There is no retirement in the things of God. God wants you to keep refining. If you have achieved something, don't sit down on it. Don't believe that that's the best that can happen, because every time you still have breath, the best is still yet to come. Can I get an amen to that? I declare concerning somebody this morning, the best is yet to come. In the name of Jesus. So life is a series of transitions. We are moving from a place to a place. We are transitioning. You are transitioning in a job. You are transitioning in a relationship. And that's why life does not abhor vacuum. It does not allow. That's why you have to be conscious and intentional about your transition. Because sometimes, instead of some people to move from glory to glory, it is getting bad and worse. It is not getting better. So it's not always movement to advancement. Sometimes it can be retrogression. It can be moving backwards. But I declare in the name of Jesus, every movement that you have had that is not forward, I declare that he begins to move forward in the name of Jesus. So God told this guy, I want you to continue what I have told your father. I want you to go somewhere. I have a plan for you. I have a future for you. I have an agenda for you. Don't be comfortable here. Can I speak to somebody and speak against everything that is making you comfortable? Comfortable on the few things that has happened. I'm beginning to retire before the things God has ahead of you. Everything that is making your vision myopic, everything that is not making you see better, I command it out of the way in the name of Jesus. Because sometimes we can become comfortable. And that's what humans like. We like to be comfortable. We like to be familiar. We like to have everything worked. We don't like disruptions. We don't like chaos. We just like it to be as we have seen it before. You know, there's this, when you go into some churches, they sing hymns and then they say something like, as it has been before, so it is now and evermore shall be. Yeah, there's an element of truth to that. But God does new things. Amen? God is a God of new things. God does not want it to be that, oh, this is how we have always been doing it, and that's how we should always do it. And stay in a little corner, in a little space. No. God has an agenda, and that agenda is big. And you will fulfill our agenda in the name of Jesus. So God told Abraham, I want you to go to somewhere. What God was telling him is this, I want to put an open door for you. Where they have put a wall, I want to put a door there. Because you see, any house without a door is a prison. It's not a house. And some of us, there are places where we have been, we are in a prison. In our marital life, we are in a prison. In our career, we are in a prison. There is no door. But I command in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, everyone in prison, be released this morning. In the name of Jesus. So God told Abraham and said, look, I see walls around you, but I'm going to create open door. And listen to me, Abraham. I want you to move from to live where you are to where I want to take you to. So life is a series of decisions. It's a series of transitions. And a door, like we see in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. Verse 7 to 8. When the Bible was talking about open door. A door can be physical. a door may also not be physical. Because in that Revelation 3, 7 to 8, God was not really talking about a physical door. God was not talking about something in the natural. God was not talking about something you could touch. In fact, if you were going to use another word for that door that God was saying, I will give you opportunity. If you are listening to me this morning, God will give you opportunities. He will give you options in the name of Jesus. So a door is not just physical. A door is just this choice. God throwing choice at you. And the way God really deals with us is to give us choice. Life is just a bunch of choices, a bunch of decisions that we have to make, a bunch of things that we have to decide, yes or no, move forward or go back, turn left or turn right. That's what life is all about. It's a bunch of decisions. And there are many times you don't know what to do with those decisions. In fact, sometimes the decision, God will not even influence it. God will just watch you. Because that's life for you. That's life for you. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. This is God speaking here. He says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. God said, I put options before you. Now you choose life. Many people always say things like this. Whatever God wants to be done, sometimes you don't even get it. God wants good to be done. But there are many of the things God wants to be done that has to do with you. You have to choose. That was what I was saying last week about do it yourself. You have to choose. There are many things God does for us. There are many things God does with us. But he wants to live in us so that we, through him, will do some things. And that's the majority of how your life will look like. Your life will look like you making decisions. You deciding whether to go to work or not go to work. You deciding to go for that curse, that course or not go for that curse. You deciding to marry that person or not marry that person. And life happens at the place of decisions. That's where life happens. That's where life happens. That decision to go, that decision to stay, that is where life happened. And God is saying, look, I have put life before you. I have put decisions before you. But I am advising you to choose life. So how do you now choose the right one? I wish it was always very clear where whichever door will lead to. I wish sometimes when we have options and we have to decide and we have to open this door or open that door, I wish sometimes we can tell categorically and with all finality that this door will lead to a particular place. Sometimes we don't know. It looks like blind faith. It looks like black market. Some of us that have been used to that in some of these countries where they have what they call black market, you know, where they sell things that they should be selling in normal market and somehow some people smuggle it into that place. You know that in a black market, you really cannot test the veracity of that thing. You know, you buy something in the... Usually, you can't test. It's like under the dark. It's like under the radar. And when you get home, you don't go and check it. Is this what I bought? You know, the people that buy gas in black market in some countries. I won't mention names. Amen. But God is helping all the countries. In Jesus' name. Then you can buy the gas or the petrol, and then you get home and find out that it's half petrol, half water. You know, it happens. They mix all kinds of things with it because it's black market. And sometimes it looks like the choices in life look like that. You don't know what lies ahead. You don't know what the future holds. But you see, there is something that we can learn, and there is something that can happen to us that can make our decision making better so that we can access that open door. And by the grace of God this morning, you will see those things in the name of Jesus. I want to say this to you before I move on. There's always a door. There is always a door. Oh, there are always options. Don't ever believe it when they tell you, if you don't take this thing today, it will never happen again. It's a lie from the pit of hell. As long as life remains, there will be doors. There will be options. God will bring options. God will create new options. It is his MO. That's how he rules this world. That's how he works this world. Many of the time, it's not because there's no door. You have just not seen it. There are people in this room that are saying, I need money. And God is saying, I wish you can see where there is money. Open that door. Because it's not because there is no money. There is not because there is no opportunity. You have just not seen it. I mean, look at the story of Abraham. When Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, the Bible said it was a desert. He was taking him to a mountain. And the Bible said when he got to the top of the mountain, put Isaac on the slaughtering table or slaughtering whatever, the Bible said God called up to Abraham and said, Abraham, stop. I have provided a ram. The question is, where was that ram? It probably was there before even Abraham started tying Isaac. But the issue was that Abraham did not see it. Similar situation with Hagar. Hagar took Ishmael, the second child of Abraham, and they were going. They were in the desert. Ishmael and Hagar were starving and thirsty, and they were almost left for the dead. They were going to die. And the Bible said, this guy, the lady just out of anguish said, that this boy might live. And an angel of the Lord showed up unto her and said, yeah, sure, the boy will live. And then that angel also showed her that there is a well around the corner. May God open your eyes to see your well. May God open your eyes to see your ram. Because as you are going up on one side of the mountain, your ram is also going up on the other side of the mountain. He's going there to wait for you. The issue is not whether the ram is there. It's can you see it? That's it. It's not the availability of ram, availability of opportunity. Is that can you see it? Have you not seen some business ideas before? You'll be like, and I thought a little bit about that thing. I just didn't follow it up that much. You didn't see the viability. You didn't see the profitability. Many of the businesses that have changed our world today, the people that started it were not the people that made money from it. The person that founded the mixture that we call Coca-Cola today, he didn't make money from it. I mean, he made some little change. But some other guys laid on. They saw something the person was not saying. The guys that founded McDonald's, the name McDonald's belongs to a family. They were brothers. They founded McDonald's. But they didn't see something big. There was this guy called Ray Kroc. Ray Kroc was a salesman, was trying to sell products, and he just accidentally ran into the McDonald brothers. And he said, what? Look at what you guys are doing. Let's make it big. They did not see the big. And, I mean, this guy did some unethical things and chased the two of them out of the company and took on McDonald's. And the guy, from few locations, turned it to a worldwide. In fact, McDonald's is not just rich in terms of they sell burgers. Apart from the Catholic Church, McDonald's is the largest real estate owner in the world. Apart from the Catholic Church. And you know, there was a time the Catholic Church owned everything because there was state and government, everything was together. So if you take that away, McDonald's is the highest real estate owner. McDonald's, their major business is not food. It's real estate. You'll get that some other day. that's what it is. And how did that happen? Because somebody was able to do something with an idea, with an opportunity. My prayer to you this morning is your eyes will open and you will see that door that is open right before you. In the name of Jesus. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15, the word of God says, see, I have set before you this day good and life, death and evil. What is God saying there? God is saying, see, there's an open door before you. Usually in the morning when you are going out, that's what you should be praying for. Lord, open my eyes to see opportunities. That's it. It is there. Opportunity is like frequency. It's like Wi-Fi. There is Wi-Fi in this room. There are some people that are not using it. But does that mean that it's not here? It is here. There is radio frequency in this room. There are some people that cannot pick it. Does that mean that it's not here? It is here. So the fact that you are not enjoying something does not mean that it's not available. The prayer you should be praying is, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. Let me see opportunities. Let me see the things that are around me. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it does not take effort. It does not even take time. It takes God to succeed in life. If God can just drop something on your lap, if God can just drop one idea, one word, it can change everything. And I'm praying that you'll come in contact with that in the name of Jesus. So life is about decisions. Life is about choices. Life is about making decision between one choice and the other. And most times, it is not apparent. People don't see it. People don't enjoy it, you know. So the ability to recognize doors is a skill. And by the grace of God in this teaching, God will mold us so that we'll begin to recognize doors in the name of Jesus. I say God will mold us to begin to recognize doors in the name of Jesus. Now, a door is not always leading to something good. Doors are very interesting. It's a very interesting word in literature. Because a door can lead to safety. A door can also lead to danger. You can open a door and you can get into safety. You can open another door and you can get into danger. My prayer for you is that your door will open to safety. Door can also lead to rest. It can mean entering into rest. And for our discussion in this whole period of time, doors can mean unboundless opportunities. And my prayer for you is that opportunities will abound for you. You will see opportunities in the name of Jesus. So let's go back to that Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 4 as we begin to wrap up this morning. What does it mean to access an open door? How can I enjoy an open door? How can I be able to seize an open door? Because when God has a place, he wants you to enjoy the place. But many of the time, the problem is not about the place, it's about the person. So what God usually does for a prepared place is to prepare a people. Is to prepare you for the place. Because it's no big deal for God to get you there. But God wants to get you ready for the place that he has prepared for you. So to access an open door is to become a person. An open door person. Because open door, it works best when you have become that person that can walk into the door. When you have become that person that can enjoy the open door. Because it is not availability or inavailability of open doors. It is that we have not become people who can walk into open doors. That's why God showed up to Abraham and told him gave him some instructions. And that tells us how we can access an open door. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 to 4, the Bible said, God told Abraham, leave your country. Leave the familiar. That's how to become an open door. You must be willing to leave the familiar. If you are married to the familiar, if you want just life to be the way it has always been, you are not interested in some level of disruption, some level of risk, some level of uncertainty, you are not going to enjoy open doors. God told him, you have to leave what you are used to. You have to leave what you are familiar with. I know some people, they can never eat anything they have not eaten before. They cannot, no. They feel like what they have eaten so far is only the thing they can eat. There's no problem with that. But sometimes, you see, that choice of food translates to other things for them. Because it means that they can't even get into investment because, I've not done it before. They cannot take up opportunities or a job because I've not done it before. No. I have a degree in... Excuse me. You know, because some people, the thing they went to study in school is so much on their head that the opportunities God is throwing before them, they can't take it. I've said it here before. We go to school to learn how to learn. That's why we go to school. Don't think it's because so that you now have a degree and that degree will now be the one controlling your life. No, there are many times you will go to school. It just gives you expertise. What God may be opening before you may be completely different from what you went to school to study. The reason why some people have not been able to embrace the open door that God has set before them is because what they are familiar with, what they have eaten before. I don't like this. I don't like that. I remember when I was living in Nigeria, one of my friends, very concerned. She said, I need to see. And I thought it was really serious, deep stuff because she's a spiritual sister. You know, she's praised. She reads her Bible, speaking tongues. So I was expecting something deep. She said, when you go, you know, and some of my friends call me Okwe. She said, Okwe, because that I also have another name. Amen. Some of you don't know. She said, when you go to America, she said, don't eat pizza. I said, why? He said, because it seems that pizza, it just makes me big. You know? I mean, maybe, and that's probably true, but there are other things that make people big too. Amen? Because I found out that sometimes a goosey has the same effect as pizza sometimes. Can somebody say amen to that? Some people don't know what a goosey is a kind of a recipe food thing. If you've not heard it before, you need to hear it and you need to enjoy it. Amen. So you, to enjoy open doors, you must be ready to leave the familiar, the things that look like what you know. And God told him, I want you to go to a country, to a place that I will show you. And here is one of the main critical things about open doors and about enjoying open doors. Open doors are not usually obvious. Open doors. They are not usually obvious. They are not usually what you can say, oh, that's it. No. And God was saying, look, I want you to just get ready to take you to a land that I will show you. You know, that doesn't sound like God. Because how can God be saying that I want to take you to where you don't know? And he didn't say he didn't know, but it sounded like he himself did not know. Because he said, I will show you down the line. You know, sometimes in life you want to be able to say A to Z. But there are many times God wants you to be willing to accept the invitation first. And then while you in the way, he'll be leading you. You know what that does to you? It makes you to trust in him. If there is any currency that is most valuable in your walk with God, it is trust. It is trust. And trust is developed when we recognize that the person that has spoken to us or the person that we are dealing with, he will not fail. And we don't know how the outcome of things will be, but we follow him. Trust. That's how God leads for the most time. You know, I've told you the story before, but I was on my way out of Chicago. I was on my way out of Chicago. I was going to England. Go and settle in the land of the Queen. Amen. And go and see Prince Charles. And you know, interestingly, I can build a case around England because while I was in elementary school, I remember several years, when Prince Charles came to Nigeria, they lined us up to welcome Prince Charles. So I was standing. And I'm like, we stood for maybe like 5 hours. Kids, God help our people. Amen. Why would they do that to us? Why can't they find out where these guys come? We lined, and you know, in Nigeria, it's summer all year round. Amen. The sun was shining, was beating us. And then this guy came, and we didn't even really see anything. Just came, drove, or at least we saw the motorcade and all of that. So the seed of England was sown into me. Amen. So when it was time to leave Chicago, I could have said, ah, I remember the seed of England has been sown into me. Maybe God wanted to send me to England. That's why he gave me a picture, you know, of England. But no, because as I was on my way out, the word of God came again and said, what did I say initially? I said, you said Chicago. Stay here. I didn't know what would happen because I didn't have a job. I didn't even know there was Victory House in the plan. I didn't know, but that's how God works. That's how God works. Because the open door will not be obvious. Chicago was not an obvious open door. It was not obvious. And I'm telling you this morning, there are inobvious or unobvious doors ahead of you. They are there. They may not be obvious. So that's why you should not be too in a haste. Don't just jump onto the only thing that is easiest for you to do. Don't just jump on to the only thing that you will not struggle with. Because some people think that when it comes to open doors, oh, if it is the will of God, it will be easy. That's what I thought. If God is asking me to stay in Chicago, because I never wanted to stay in the United States. For never. It was not my plan. In fact, when I came, because I came to school, I had a return ticket. I thought, I came in August, I thought at least September I would have gone back to Nigeria. Not to go and stay, but just to go back, you know. Because this is America thing, I don't know about it. But after that, my August ticket, the next time I went to Nigeria, I was almost four years after that. Because God had a plan. So what am I saying this morning? To be an open door person, first of all, settle it in your mind that open doors may not always be obvious. And because it's not obvious, does not mean that it's not there. So many of the times, you need to be praying. Your prayer should be something like Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 downwards. Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Let me see what is not of yours. As I'm going out this Monday morning, show me what is not of yours. Because there are things at your workplace that everybody is not saying. There are things in your career that everybody is not saying. That is how inventions happen. If everybody could see it, they would have invented it since. And inventions have not finished. I remember when I was about to leave college, I started thinking to myself, I think they've invented everything. This is the day. Then we had internet to an extent. You can search things online. So I thought to myself, this is it. But that was before Facebook came. That was before Twitter. That was before Instagram. That was before many of the things that you have seen today. So that means that the end has not yet come. That means there are still new inventions. You just need to see it. Will you touch your eyes this morning and say in the name of Jesus, I say eyes open and see what is not obvious in the name of Jesus. So what does it mean to be an open door person, ladies and gentlemen? It means you should know that open doors may not be obvious. They may not be the things that everybody is seeing. They may not be the conventional, but they are there. They are there. It's just for you to see it. My prayer for you this morning is that you will see it in the name of Jesus. To be an open door person, another thing you need to settle in your mind is this. God wants me to be a blessing. Because God gave Abraham that MO in Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 4. He says, I want you to go from what you don't know today. I want to take you to another land. But the reason I'm doing this is I will bless you. But my final thing with you is not just to make you blessed. I want to make you a blessing. To be able to enjoy open door, you and I need to change and orientate our mentality to this. I want to be a blessing. It doesn't have to be about me. I want to be a blessing. The reason some of us are not ready to risk things is because you are just thinking of your own comfort alone. What about the other people? You know what God, what Mordecai told Esther when Esther was getting too comfortable with the palace? Mordecai said, look, the reason you are in the palace is not because of you alone. God has sent you to be a deliverer for many people. And I love Joseph because Joseph got it. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. When his brothers were coming to him and saying, oh, Joseph, please forgive us. Ah, we are sorry, we are sorry, we are sorry. He said, no, don't break your neck. I understand my position. I know why I'm here. I know the reason I'm able to, I could access this open door that made me a prime minister in Egypt was because I know that God sent me ahead of you to be a blessing unto you. Can I tell you this? To be an open door blessing, you must accept God's invitation to be a blessing. You must accept God's invitation to be a distributor. If God knows that if I give this guy one, it can pass to many, he will give it to you. The reason some people can't see the open door is because they are too self-conscious. It's all about you. It's all about yourself. It's all about your family. And there is nothing wrong with being thinking about yourself. It's good. It's okay. But if that's the only thing you are doing, it's not good. I've said it here before that some of us, we should ask ourselves the question, if God were to answer all my prayers, whose life will change because of that? Who will it help? What will it change? Because some of our prayer is all about ourselves, me, myself, my mother. What about the other people? Don't you think that there are some people that don't know how to call upon the name of this God, that God wants to use you to be a blessing to? So, to be an opened up person, you need to know that you are blessed to be a blessing. The reason God wants to open doors for you is so that when you walk into those open doors, you will also open doors for other people too. That's what God does. If you look at the MO of God, God never likes to repeat processes. He never likes to, let me not say repeat processes. God never likes to do suddenly all the time, like miracles, so to say. For example, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, we see God create the heavens and the earth, and 7 days he created everything. After that first 7 days, did you see him doing the same thing again? No. Because God has created the prototype and he expected that prototype to continue. After God created Adam from dust, did you see him create any other person from the dust? Now, if Adam had thought to himself, well, I love this garden, me, myself, and my wife, we're just going to enjoy ourselves. That would sound like a 2018 couple. We just want to enjoy ourselves. Just, we don't want to give birth to kids. We don't want to do all of that. And Adam decides that, you know what? We're not going to give birth to kids. You know he's stopping the process of God. Because God has put into Adam everything that will populate this earth. God created only just two people. And now we are seven what? We are billions. That's a lot. If you add all the people that have died with that, that's a lot of people. And just from two people. That's how God does things. When he opens a door for you, that door that is opening for you, in his mind, is not only about you. He's thinking about other people. Genesis chapter 18. God said concerning Abraham, you say, you know, the reason, one of the reasons I'm blessing Abraham is because I know that Abraham is not going to let this stop on him. He's going to pass it on. Look at your neighbor and say, are you willing to pass it on? Are you willing to pass it on? So, to be an open door person, be ready, be willing, and understand that open doors are not always obvious. To be an open door person, you need to be to know that you are blessed to be a blessing. And this morning, I'll close with it. To be an open door person, you need to develop the spirit of generosity. The spirit of generosity. It sounds like the second point I made, but it's not the same thing. You need to develop the spirit of generosity. Ladies and gentlemen, God also has plans. God also has agenda. Many of the times when you are praying and saying, God, do this thing, God, do that. Do you know God has plans too? God has needs too? Many times, if you put yourself and say, God, I want to meet your need. I want to be the person that what is on your heart, I want to fulfill it. And that's what having the spirit of generosity is all about. It's not about money. It is not about size of what you give. It is a heart. We need to develop that spirit that I want to give back. I want to give back to the school I went to. I want to give back to the community that I went to. I want to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. And it's about time. It's about time. Because God has an open door ahead of us. It's about time that we recalibrate so that open door will open the more. So that open door will open so that we will be able to enter into it. But you and I need to understand that open door is waiting for a person that understands that it may not be obvious. It's waiting for a person that understands that you were blessed to be a blessing. It's waiting for a person that has developed the spirit of generosity. Not hoarding. I believe in savings. I save. In fact, I think that if you don't save, you are not a good child of God. You should not spend everything. You know, some people believe that they should always be saying, God, this is my last. This is my No. I don't believe in that. I believe that every time God gives you an income, as you are taking some apart for God, you can keep some too. Because there are many open doors that God will bring ahead of you, that open door will need you to act very quickly. Especially business opportunity. It will need you to act quickly. You can't go and tell the business owners and business opportunity, the business people and say, you know what, I like this business. I want to be part of this business. But give me 2 years. I will save up. No, it will be too late because somebody will take it. So I believe in the savings. But you see, there is someone that keeps more than is necessary. There's someone that hurts, that keeps more than is necessary. And the Bible says, it tended to poverty. But I see you increasing in the name of Jesus. So the challenge to us this morning is this. Just like God told Abraham. And God was saying, look, the scripture was saying, God had told him before, or God was reminding him that there is a two. That you need to leave where you are now and begin to go to that place. This morning I'm challenging you. Don't be comfortable where you are. Don't be comfortable with what you have. Don't assume that it is over. Don't assume that, I've paid my own dues and this is it. No. There is something ahead of you. There is something better there. My prayer is that God will open your eyes to see it. My prayer is that God will walk on you so that you'll be able to access it when you see it. In the name of Jesus.